The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So the third step of Anapanasati is to train oneself when breathing in a short breath, when breathing in, to experience the whole body. When breathing out, experiencing the whole body. And this idea of experiencing the body, experiencing means really sensing, feeling with our sensations, all the sense doors we have, this body of ours. And one of the ways in which I have felt encouraged and inspired to really tune into the sensations of my body is the idea that when I die, and then this body becomes a corpse, the nerves in this body no longer firing. There's no more electricity. There's no more activity in the nervous system of this body. And if someone touches a corpse with their, you know, touches it with finger, there's nothing in that corpse which will register, pick up, sense, feel, send nerve signals to the brain. And so everything that I sense, every sensation in my body, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, is a symptom or a sign of being alive. It's not always going to be here. In that sense that this is what living is, this is what aliveness is, this is a precious experience of being conscious of being alive, encourages me, supports me to really be present, and I feel delight to feel, you know, to know that this is, I'm alive when I feel all this. To feel the body, to experience the body is so important in Buddhism. There's a wonderful story that after the Buddha died, soon after he died, someone went to one of the Buddha's leading disciples, his cousin Ananda, who had spent, I think they say 20 years as the Buddha's attendant. And he asked Ananda, now that your teacher is dead, who is going to be your teacher? Who is you going to be your good spiritual friend? And Ananda said, now that our teacher is dead, our teacher will be mindfulness of the body. He didn't say our teacher will be our body. What he said, the teacher will be the mindfulness of the body. So that's a remarkable statement that this wonderful, this probably amazing founder of Buddhism, who had so much wisdom and realization, that his disciple, who knew him directly, would point to your capacity to be mindful of your body as having some equivalence to the Buddha himself. So that's quite a statement about the potential of your body to really be your teacher, to be your Buddha in a sense. But again, it's important to realize it's not the body by itself. It's the mindfulness of the body, the ability to have awareness coursing through the body, awareness sensing and feeling the body. And as we practice meditation, ideally, the body becomes more and more alive, more and more conscious, more and more, there's more awareness of the body. It's easy to be unconscious or unaware of parts of our body, to disassociate from parts of our body. Some of it might be because we're simply too much in our head, thinking too much, or I think computer work, sitting at the computer for long hours, is a kind of mental activity that many people then kind of lose track of their body, not settled in their body. And so there can be whole professions that people have that the center of gravity is above the neck. And so there's the disconnection and kind of atrophying of the living aliveness of the rest of the body. There can also be emotional difficulties that it's too difficult to be in the body because to feel parts of the body is to touch into those unresolved places or the pain that's there. And so people will stay maybe above the neck or above the waist or something and not feel what's happening. And breath meditation, Buddhist mindfulness meditation, it can be seen as a reclaiming of our body, really kind of opening up and filling out and really feeling our body, so that over time we discover for ourselves how wonderful it is to be at home in the body, and also how much mindfulness of the body is in fact a teacher for us. That so much is revealed, so much the path to practice and the path to spiritual freedom is revealed through this really living mindfulness of the body. But as we do so in the beginning, what we begin experiencing is what I've called the karmic body. And the karmic body is the body that's is when the body, our bodily experience, our sensations, how we experience our body, hasn't really caught up to the present moment. Meaning that if we have some unresolved issues, unresolved emotions, unresolved experiences held and trapped in the body, then as we meditate, in order for the body to really catch up to the present moment, we have to kind of work through that. So it could be as simple as if through life experiences you've learned that to be tense, to be anxious, and be afraid, and that fear translates to the shoulders being raised, then when we sit down to meditate, then we feel the tension in the shoulders. Sooner or later we'll start feeling that. And that tension is a legacy of the past. It's a continuation of what's been, how we were conditioned by past experience, past operations and thinking and attitudes that we have. And they get stored, they get perpetuated, they get locked in. But so when we start feeling those the shoulders being tense, maybe we can relax a little bit, but as we settle and get concentrated and more here, the shoulders relax more and more. And then at some point, the shoulders no longer contain this momentum from the past. And when that momentum is no longer there, then it's, in my language, the shoulders have finally arrived in the present moment. And they're here. And so all over the body there might be holding patterns that represent ways in which we've been repressed our body, not paying attention to it, the way we hold the body, the tension we have. And all these things are part of the karmic body. It's said that Abraham Lincoln said that by the time a person is 40, they're responsible for their face. And I think what he means by that is that the chronic holding patterns of how we use the little micro muscles of the face, after a while they get kind of locked in, or certain muscles get, you know, strong and developed, and others atrophy, and so it subtly shapes the human face. And I've seen that in people in different, grew up in different cultures, but they had the same ethnicity, but they grew up in different cultures, speaking different languages, and you can see the subtle shifts and changes in their face, that maybe because of the language they use different muscles to speak. So anyway, so if we're always afraid or always angry, or there's subtle micro muscles in the face that hold that, and so the face can be a legacy of the past, the momentum of the past. And the face can relax, and we can catch up and be in the present moment. So part of mindfulness is to let the body catch up to the present moment. And to do that, it requires being willing to feel and sense all that's in the body, to leave nothing out. And this idea of being at home in the body, there are messy rooms. There are rooms that still need to be cleaned out for the house to be settled and really feel at home in it. And so we have to be very patient with all that. And this is where mindfulness of breathing can be helpful. That as we feel, and in mindfulness practice, we really want to feel this body and feel the tensions we have, feel the pains we have. And then to breathe with those discomforts, to breathe through them, to help them relax, help them open, help them soften, help somehow, as it's almost like when there's space, breathing room for the body knows how to unfold, how to unwind, how to relax. And so this idea of breathing with the discomfort, rather than thinking about it, reacting to it, pushing it away, being discouraged, being upset, going into fantasy to avoid it, to really be here in this body and breathe with it. So to breathe with. So opening to the body, feeling at home in the body, learning to be grounded here. And then I'll repeat what I said at the end of the meditation, that this ability to be grounded, you know, say this way, that many people thrive or really benefit a lot from others offering their attention. It's a great gift we give to others to listen to them well, to attend to them well, to pay attention to them well. But that attention that we give also conveys subtle other attitudes that we have. And if we're leaning forward always, showing we're paying attention, but we have a little bit of fear, a little bit of anxiety around it, or a little bit we're trying too hard to do something for them, we convey something very different than if we settled back and we're paying careful attention, but we convey a sense of at-homeness, a sense that of safety, of comfort, of in this body, in this world. And to convey that to others, I'm paying attention to you, yes, and this is we can be at ease and settled here. And to say that, maybe it is not very compelling to you, how important that is, but the reference point was small children, that if you're with a four-year-old, how you're paying attention in subtle ways, those children pick up. And if we're paying attention with anxiety, they learn the world is an anxious place. But if they see someone paying attention and being there, and that person's at home in their skin, at home in their body, feeling safe and settled, they learn something very different. This is possible too. It's possible to feel at home in this world and relaxed. So mindfulness of the body. And one of my goals in life is to be a cheerleader for mindfulness of the body. So I hope that over the next few days, over the weekend, that you really explore this. And one of the ways to explore mindfulness of the body, and not to make it this big project to be mindfulness of the body, is to make it a study to become aware of all the ways that you're not aware of your body, all the ways that you wander off from it and are not in touch. And notice that and get really become like an expert to really recognize quickly, oh, I'm not in touch with my body. I'm not aware of what's happening here. I'm in my thoughts, ideas, I'm lost in my project. But to do that regularly and just that and see what happens to you, independent of any need to actually come back to your body. Just notice how much you're away. So thank you very much, and I look forward to continuing this series on Monday.